I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lore Boys here. The internet's number one fake history podcast, swinging into action with a long overdue Patreon request. My name is Peter Parker, fresh out of horny jail, and I am joined with Ethan Meyer and J. Jamie Jameson.
Hi, Ethan Meyer here. I don't know who I am.
Yeah, I know. Jameson. Am I the reporter dude, like the guy at the desk?
Yeah, okay. You're the EIC.
Nice, nice.
The head of the Daily Bugle.
Yes.
Definitely going to be coming from a place of learning for this episode. I have very little experience except for the PlayStation 4 game.
And the memes.
This episode here. Memes. Yeah, and the memes, obviously. I mean, we'll get into it here. This episode was requested by Darnell, who also requested the very bizarre and wonderful Doom Patrol episode, which you can go find in our backlog a while back.
One of our favorite lore folk.
Yeah, I was going to say, I even put a note here to, like, praise him. He's been, like, a member of the Lore Boys community for so long, he basically lives in, like, an old folks home on the Discord. Yeah. So I'd like to think of this episode as, like, his Wednesday pill in his applesauce. Sort of thing, like, given back.
Yeah, he's been supporting us for so long, like sending emails, like when we got stuff wrong, whenever sending us like stuff to our patron, he's Patreon. He's awesome. Super fan. We love you, Darnell.
Yeah. So he requested this. And if you want to request something from us to eventually get around to, you can go to loreboys.com/about or aboot and drop into our little Discord. Darnell sent me some notes for this episode as well. So I'm going to be using those. So that's it. He helped out. He requested it, all that good stuff. And as you may have already guessed, this episode will be about a spider guy.
What? Which spider guy?
Specifically, the spider fella from Spider-Man 2099, Miguel O'Hara.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because there's quite a few spider guys.
So far.
Right?
From what I understand, there are hundreds of spider people.
If not an infinite amount, because I think that's the whole thing with the multiverse, is that there's literally a universe where everybody is Spider-Man. Did either of you watch Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, so Miguel is at the end. He's in like the post-credit scene of Spider-Verse. And it's, I don't know, like I barely even count it as a superhero movie because I really, truly like it. And if it just like sat by itself on its own, it would be a fantastic movie, whereas everything else feels like, you know, I did like the MCU, but up to Avengers, it was just like kind of long episodes in a very drawn out season of television, sort of, that like culminated with Endgame.
Yeah. I remember watching
Spider-Verse, which just kind of came and went, and if that was it, I'd be like, satisfied.
That was perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember watching Eight-Legged Freaks. Is that in the Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes, canonically speaking, Lore Boys canon. Okay. The late 1990s, early 2000s B or C movie, Eight-Legged Freaks, is canonically part of the Spider-Man canon.
I just remember people running away from giant spiders. That's
that
the
was
movie.
The premise. Yeah, that was pretty much the premise of Eight-Legged Freaks.
That came out at the same time as another kind of like B movie set in the desert that I love called Evolution. I don't know if you guys
Evolution
have seen
it. Oh, yeah. It has like the picture with the little smiley face on it, and it's all these weird aliens.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I love that movie too.
Spoilers: they defeat the alien bacteria that's taking over the planet with Head and Shoulders, which
they spray it up its butt.
It was like a weird long commercial for Head and Shoulders, the dandruff shampoo. Like,
not to get too far off track, but we might as well just do this early. If I was like, "Hey, I want to make this sci-fi movie," And it's like, okay, but you need product placement. And it's like, do you care how I do it? And they're just like, nah. That's probably how I'd do it.
Yeah. I mean, I still use Head and Shoulders today, so maybe it had a lasting effect on me.
I used it just this morning.
Yeah, I put it on my butt to keep the aliens out.
Gotta do it.
Yeah. It gives me scalp acne. I hate it.
That's weird.
The wax that prevents your dandruff.
So if back acne is called backne, is scalp acne called scacne?
Yeah.
Gross.
Miguel O'Hara canonically does not have scacne, but we might be able to insinuate a little bit here and there, depending on what happens to the episode.
Okay.
The character of Miguel O'Hara, or Hara, Catherine O'Hara, he's on Schitt's Creek. Miguel O'Hara's the wife.
Oh, gotcha.
He was created by Peter David and Rick Leonardi in 1992 for the Marvel 2099 comic book line. So they chose a year, for some reason, 107 years in the future, and was like, make our guys again, but new now. And this was the Spider-Man of the 2099 series. He and some other same guy, but different sort of future versions that were established were the Hulk and the Punisher as well as Ghost Rider, which didn't make any sense to me, because as far as I know, Ghost Rider is the spirit of vengeance that possesses like a body to become
something like that.
A guy who captures demons. Whereas in 2099, he's a cyborg, or not a cyborg, just like fully mechanical. So the spirit of vengeance ended up inside of a fully mechanical body.
They put the spirit of vengeance in a damn computer, man.
So prior to Miguel's birth, a few things changed on this version of Earth. So for the 2099, which is Earth-928.
Okay.
As Ethan already mentioned, so Marvel and DC and maybe other publishers do this. They kind of just number their Earths so that they can just kind of tell whatever the fuck story they want, which frankly is a fine idea, honestly. Just go for it. And the recent Marvel movies that we were just talking about, excluding Spider-Verse, I guess sort of, despite the fact that it's about a multiverse. The MCU films, the live action ones, take place on Earth 199,999.
Okay.
Just as an example for some stuff that more people have definitely seen.
Yeah. I think we said it on the last time we talked about Marvel, but the infinite Earths is like a great, like it's a fine idea for telling any kind of story that you want, but to me, it always like seems to lessen the stakes, you know, because
that is fair.
And there's one of them, either DC or Marvel, does Crisis on Infinite Earths. I want to say Marvel, but I don't know that for sure. But it's like the thing about Infinity is like, even if, you know, no matter how many planets get wiped out, just based on how Infinity works, there will always be an infinite number of planets where life didn't get wiped out. So,
yeah,
like, you know, to me, it just feels like it is really fun for like the standalones, like kind of like for people who are more familiar with the movies and the comics, like myself, I guess. Thor Ragnarok really felt like a standalone movie where it was completely away from Earth and all the Avengers drama happening, and it was on this like weird planet where you could tell those like really cool stories and not have them affect other storylines. And those are the kind of the stories that I like the most, I think. Is the ones that just kind of like stand alone and don't contribute to the whatever Earth 616 is, I think, the or 636 or something is the main Marvel canon.
616. I have it here.
Yeah. So like those stories interest me a lot less because I guess they have, or they're given this sense of weight, which I just don't feel, because I'm like, well, they can always just go to another universe if they need to. Like,
yeah, you could just pack up the Winnebago and go somewhere else.
Exactly.
With Lone Star. So I did have this here. The OG Earth is 616, like Ethan said. 928 is a possible future of 616. So I think it is caused by Spider-Man 2099 himself, by Miguel. I'm just doing the origins of the character, obviously.
Okay.
what with this being Lore Boys and not Summary Boys, which is our Sunday podcast, which you can tune into.
Yeah, yeah. We just tell you a story you already know.
Badly.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
That's not a real thing. Please don't search that. Or if you find some Summary Boys, it's like a different podcast. It sounds a lot like us, but they're slightly different. Mm-hmm. It's like us from Earth 928 are the Summary Boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
A possible future, if you will.
Exactly. Yeah, so basically, like, 928, a timeline split occurs from 616 and creates 928. It's like if James Cole was never visited by three ghosts on Christmas Eve while contemplating suicide,
right,
sort of thing.
Right, right,
right. Like, he never went to Baltimore. It's all standard time travel crap.
Gotcha.
Yeah. On Earth 928, this is prior to the birth of Miguel, there was a civil war between humans and mutants. The mutants in this case are the X-Men.
Okay.
Right?
Wow.
So that's what... Yeah. I guess Magneto got his way, right? Because that was always his thing. He wanted the Civil War, and he wanted to eradicate all the humans.
I didn't look into the Civil War on Earth 928 specifically.
Mm-hmm.
The mutants did lose.
Okay. So he got his way, then didn't get his way.
Yeah, exactly. And then killed himself in a bunker, basically. That was a parking lot where Magneto killed himself. It's ridiculous.
Magneto, he had all of his master plans on big CRT TVs, and then he used his powers, and it was all gone.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, his one weakness is static.
I mean, this analogy is kind of funny because Magneto is canonically a Holocaust survivor. Like, he has the tattoo on his arm, so it's kind of a funny little way to twist that, I guess.
Forgot about that.
Anyway, they lost the Civil War. And, like, despite the fact that the humans won against the mutants, Earth was in kind of a bad way, and it was real ready to be cyberpunked.
Right.
The borders changed to ensure that there were just five gigantic nation states around the world.
Okay.
Where we have the United States of America, okay, the Free Russian Alliance, which is different from the subscription-based Russian Alliance.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The Federated States of America, which, from what I understand, is like Texas down to Argentina. I couldn't find anything. I don't really get it.
I mean, South America is America too, Pete. I hate to be the one to break this to you.
Well, that's fair, but we did build that canal in Panama, or Teddy Roosevelt made that canal in Panama,
that's
right,
true,
to try and drift away.
Carved it himself with all the saber-toothed tiger tusks that he had from his hunting collection.
Right, and then he was just trying to save Brazil from Florida, from what I understand.
God bless him, huh?
So we had the Federated States of America, the European Continental Consolidate, which I guess doesn't include the UK. I don't know, and then the People's Republic,
not anymore.
The People's Republic of China. So a bunch of new states and regular China
and good old China that we all know.
Good old China.
All these new dystopian twists on quote unquote free countries, and then China.
Yeah, exactly. So naturally, a chemical reaction took place, and mega corporations grew from these new nation states. Because as we've seen in most cyberpunk or in a lot of speculative future fiction, when borders decompose, they turn into mega corporations, which can then be further distilled into moonshine.
I mean, it makes sense to me because, like, if you have one centralized government, like, the more you control, if you're a corporation that can then control that centralized government, the more that corporation can control, right? So it's trickle down fascism, right?
Where it's like, well, you just figure, but like the poor will oppress the even more poor, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is how we set it up,
and it works uncannily well.
In the Mexican occupied city of Nueva York, which is Spanish for New Amsterdam,
right?
A woman named Concheta O'Hara is cheating on her husband George O'Hara and gets pregnant.
Okay.
The bouncing baby bundle of fucking lies is brought into this world and is named Miguel O'Hara.
I recognize that name.
Yes, exactly. Should we name him after your dad, George?
Yeah.
What, you want to name him Spider-Man 2099? That's a terrible name for a baby. Miguel also has a half-brother, Gabriel, who is the legit son of George and Conchetta.
Okay.
And he eventually, in one of the arcs, becomes a legit-as-fuck hacker called Firelight. And he works with his brother to,
hack stuff.
Yeah, they do some, net running crap or whatever. They go into cyberspace to defeat viruses. I don't know. You've all seen Digimon the movie from the 90s.
Exactly.
It was that.
So
presumably.
Is this, and this is a guess on my part. So did his mom cheat on him with the old Spider-Man? And then, but it wasn't cheating. It was just a lot of couples, they have that list of celebrities that it's like, oh, sure, honey, you can fuck Spider-Man if he's ever in town and wants to bang you.
it was one of the spiders from Eight Legged Freaks, I think, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Man, spider.
Eight legged freak in the sheets.
Are these silk? And he's like, you know it, baby. And he's like spinning it himself.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not actually going to correct that. So, yeah.
Nice.
Love it. Yeah, it's who is the male lead? Jamie, pull up the clip of who is the lead guy in Eight Legged Freaks, because his name's on the tip of my tongue. It's going to drive me fucking crazy.
Sure.
Miguel,
I can't even remember what the guy looks like.
David Arquette.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What does he look like?
Like David Arquette.
Generically handsome white dude, a little bit of facial hair.
Okay. I've seen the movie and I've never seen this person before in my life.
He played one of the spiders, that's why.
Are you guys Mandela affecting me right now?
Yes.
This isn't a real person. This is one of those face amalgamation tools or whatever.
we fed 500 male faces into an AI and it produced this, and we named him David Arquette. He's not real.
Don't you remember him from Scream 2, Scream 3, or Never Been Kissed?
such highlight hits. Never Been Kissed.
That's a Drew Barrymore movie, right?
It looks like it. She's on the cover.
I've actually never been kissed. So similar.
Dude, you should watch that movie. It's good.
Neither by Drew Barrymore nor anyone else.
In my social circles, that makes you better at World of Warcraft. So,
oh, jokes on them. I'm terrible at World of Warcraft.
But great at kissing. It's an awful situation for you.
I would be.
What would you prefer, really?
I kiss the mirror very good.
I see.
My mom says I'm a great kisser.
Oh, my dad, Tom Brady, loves it.
David Arquette was also in My Mom Says I'm a Great Kisser.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
There you go.
You should watch both those movies. They're basically about you, Ethan Myers.
Yeah.
Miguel, thankfully, like any good 90s comic book character, was a rebellious miracle child with prodigy-level intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably really fucking fun to hang out with. Just like... good looking, very smart, 90s as shit, and like a rebel. He's just like, you're not my real dad, George.
How's his kissing?
Probably really good.
Probably really good? Okay, so he's bad at World of Warcraft, though.
He would be. Now, they're on WoW Classic 10 at this point in 2099,
right.
Obviously,
right.
Where they have gone through all the expansions multiple times.
They're past Into the Shadowlands or whatever the new one is. They're the WoW Classic is on two after that one.
Yeah, World of Warcraft, Into the Spider-Verse or whatever the fuck it is now.
It's WoW Classic all the way down, my dude.
The Alchemax Corporation took notice of Miguel, likely using their militarized policemen. I mean, that's the easiest way to get information on children in public. And they gave him a scholarship to the Alchemax School for Gifted Youngsters, in Westchester, New York. And just a quick thing for the viewers here and anybody else on the tour bus right now, I'd like to direct your attention away from the similarly named school with the same address, the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters. The fact that Professor X once had a school here filled with now long dead mutants is pure coincidence, citizen.
Okay. Now, Peter, are you joking or are you serious? Is it actually just a coincidence?
It is not a coincidence whatsoever. Yeah. It is strongly hinted at that after slaughtering the mutants in the Civil War, Alchemex just like it's pretty good. This is a good spot.
It's got like a giant metal room. It has a stealth fighter in it. We're gonna move in here.
Yeah, landing pad, Cerebro. They got a fountain out front. Shit.
Yeah. Very posh.
Everything.
All that mahogany. Yeah.
Well, I mean, once we get the bodies out, we can keep the mahogany, I'm hoping. It's like, yes, of course, Mr. Alchemex. Yeah.
I love the stain on this mahogany. What is it? Mutant blood.
Very nice, actually. At the school, Miguel meets his soon-to-be cheated-on girlfriend. I guess it's Xena Kwan. It's X-I-N-A, or Sheena.
Sure, yeah.
Xena Kwan. The two are of similar intelligence. However, Xena specializes in AI and computers, while Miguel specializes in genetics. So they're a nerd power couple.
The way that it has an X name, and this might be Xavier's school from before, like, just picture her being in a wheelchair with, like, a wig. Yeah. In a dress. Like
Professor X, like, 170 years old, just, like, in a wheelchair, shriveled husk, like... Hello, Miguel.
I gotta study for math.
Yeah. It's me, your hot teenage girlfriend.
But wait. This is very good, Lore Boys canon. Because Professor X could just telepathically make him think that he's looking at a really hot teenage girl.
Oh, fuck. He could
just fucking fuck Miguel up and be like, no, you're actually dating a teenage girl. And it's just him in a wheelchair.
Okay. Yeah, I accept that.
Yeah. It's his revenge for all the mutants being slain. He's going to lead a boy on.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Lore Boys canon. That's, so his girlfriend Xena Kwan is actually Professor Charles Xavier using psychic abilities to trick him. Professor X eventually builds Miguel an AI assistant named Lila, which is Lyla. Which is a dubious abbreviation for Lyrit Life Form Approximation.
Okay. Live, okay. Laugh, love. Yeah.
Live your laugh ass.
I had to, like, Jamie pull up the clip Lyrit myself while I was writing this, because I was just like, can I make a joke? Like, what the fuck does this even mean? It means, like, dictionary.com, which I don't know if is a good source, says it's in the shape of a lyre, which is like that ancient Greek harp, like kind of chubby harp with strings in it.
Medieval harp.
Yeah, I had no idea. Lila appears as like a sexy hologram lady and not a wisecracking musical instrument, sadly.
Natch.
So Professor X had at least a little bit of taste where he was just like, obviously, if I'm going to trick this boy into dating me as revenge for the Civil War, I'm gonna need to make his Siri pretty hot.
He started tricking him, and then he's like, oh shit, he wants to go to second base. I can't trick that. Like, better come up with some other out or whatever.
Like, Professor X is in so deep now.
Yeah.
I could not psychic lie my way out of this one. I'm fucked.
Well, Professor X in his 170 years has never kissed anyone, so he's probably really nervous about it.
True.
Oh, that's what they moved. That's what they made that movie about.
The 170-year-old virgin. Yeah.
Now, Miguel, he's a bit of he's a 90s boy. He's a rebel. He's a player. He would eventually cheat on Professor Xavier and he's such a fucking bastard. He cheated on Xena with his brother Gabriel's girlfriend, Dana, and then got engaged to her.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Bit of a dick move there, Miguel.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't know why they wrote this into a character's backstory. I don't know if this is some radical 90s dude shit, but it's like truly cruel to both your brother and Professor X, which is very strange.
Yeah.
Well, they say a lot of our behavior is written in our DNA, and his mom went and had sex with that eight-legged freaks thing, like, out of wedlock, right? So
he only cheated on somebody with two legs, so it's only a quarter as bad as his mom.
Right. Okay, I mean, that's fair. Yeah,
that's mad.
And Professor X is in a wheelchair and he can't walk. So yeah, he's
that's no life.
Is that fair? That's math. Math can't argue with you.
Math is one of the few like objective sciences that we have. Right?
Exactly.
Oh my god. Prior to their relationship, to Dana and Miguel's relationship, Xena helped Miguel stand up to the school bully, who was named, and get ready, Kron Stone.
That's a bad name.
It's a stupid fucking name, isn't it? Yeah.
it's like Kron, it's like a combination of Crohn's disease or Kron's
and
disease
kidney stone.
And kidney stone. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking it too.
That's
yeah.
the first thing I thought.
He can't pee, so that's why he's the bully.
That's why he's mad all the time.
Yeah, bullies are often have trouble at home. For him, it's just in the washroom.
Got scacne stones.
Yeah.
Kron was the son of Tyler Stone, who was the president of research and development for Alchemax, and Miguel's real father.
What? Whoa! So that's his brother, half brother.
Half brother.
Is he gonna bang his girlfriend too, or?
that's his spider power, right? Yeah. When he finally mutates, he's got the power of infidelity.
Yeah, the power of banging his half brothers' girlfriends
specifically. Yeah, yeah, and thankfully that he's got main character powers, so all the relevant characters in the story are
his half brothers.
Share one parent with him.
Yeah.
I also wanted to point out that Miguel O'Hara is like a very cool, like very good cross cultural name from a writing standpoint.
Sure.
However, I don't know about Kron Stone, because I like to imagine him as like the son of Tyler Stone and some like thawed Neanderthal.
Yeah, like,
and Rosetta Stone.
Yeah. And then they ran the name Jeffrey through the Rosetta Stone into ancient Babylonian, and it came out as Kron.
Yeah, yep. They translated to Babylonian and then back.
Exactly. Yeah.
To get a really fucked up, like a real capital U unique name.
Yeah.
You could get tormented in kindergarten.
How do you spell Kron?
K-R-O-N.
That's like, that is a supervillain name, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was about to get into a quick little bio on Kron, actually, if you want here. Kron is Miguel's half-brother. That's why he obviously is going to eventually fuck his girlfriend or something.
Sure. Yeah.
He is also important to several other characters. He's a good... Kron is... it, like every time I say his name, he's like kind of a good center point for the story, where a lot of 2099 stuff seems to revolve around him.
Okay.
He at some point puts out a hit on Jake Gallows's family, who was like a police officer who retroactively admired the historical Punisher. And this turned Jake into the new Punisher, Punisher 2099. And then in a fight with Gallows, he like gets stabbed and falls into the sewers and comes into contact with the Venom symbiote, which had been like learning karate and
Kron does.
Spit acid, yeah, exactly, down in the sewers. So Kron is now Venom 2099, which, and this was confirmed by the writers. Venom 2099 is pretty much just the alien from Aliens. So he like has kind of like spikes, and he's a little bit more twisted and like kind of raptor-like. And he bleeds acid and spits acid, so he's very much like the alien from Alien.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he spent some time in the sewers learning karate from a rat, is what you were saying. And
from Pizza Rat.
Eating pizza with his friends, and that presumably turned him into the alien from the Alien series.
I mean, fast food's bad for you, so the fact that it too much pizza turned his blood to acid doesn't surprise me. After some time, so that's just about Kron. Like, I'm not going to get into their actual conflict. After some time at the academy, Miguel began to use his skills as a geneticist at Alchemax Labs on their corporate raider program. And I would love for you guys to guess quickly, what do you think corporate raiders are?
I mean, they're corporate and they raid. So, I don't know, they like raid other companies. Like, there's like open warfare between the mega corporations that rule these nation states.
Jimbo?
They're salespeople that call you at dinner time.
They're not that evil, actually. They're not as bad as telemarketers. They're just corporate-owned and corporate-controlled super cops. So whether they're set off on espionage missions or like kind of like under-the-table corporate warfare, whatever. But the corporate raider program was basically just to make like, well, what if we could, I don't know, abuse our power even harder, basically.
Huh. So just like regular cops, but in the future.
But with like superpowers.
Gotcha.
Yeah. They're not just above the law. They're, I don't know, very strong.
Too. They're above the law with laser sight.
Yeah. they could also like cut a car in half with their eyes or something.
Gotcha, exactly. Gotcha. Yeah. Is it like X-Men where they all have individual powers? Like there's one guy who has to stay back at the office and dispense coffee from his fingertips and stuff?
Yeah. Or? Oh, coffee cop? Yeah, probably. Yeah.
The guy who vomits up whole donuts. And he's vomiting into boxes all day.
Yeah. Oh, wait, your sprinkles.
donut hole and like cop fiend or some stupid shit.
So where's the custard come from?
Yeah. Fastening a button on his pants. He's like, don't bother. So that would insinuate that he has to regurgitate empty Boston Creep donuts and then fuck them before.
I mean, you would insinuate that. I just asked where it came from. But Loreboy's canon, yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, so basically they were trying to like breed super security, I don't know, like beyond the point of needing to sustain themselves off bribes. So it's just like, oh man, this cost me so much goddamn money. What if we bred cops that didn't need bribes because we could just control them directly, sort of thing.
Their superpower is not needing bribes.
Yes.
Their superpower is integrity.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, like, you can't get it any other way, clearly. So you have to like make them in a lab with integrity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Miguel, he was working on this project. He admired a certain crime fighter from his history textbooks, Spider-Man, who had been killed previously by Macduff, the Thane of Fife, at the end of The Tragedy of Spider-Man.
That sounds familiar, but...
Yeah.
The trees are moving!
This Spider-Man is supposed to support education, so it's not great.
Gotcha. I mean, it's a thousand-year-old history, right? So...
Yeah.
I mean, you probably look back, there's probably some wires crossed somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, think about, like, 2099 is 78 years in the future from time of recording, and currently people believe shit they read on Twitter.
Exactly.
So, can you imagine how bad it could get?
My spider, my kingdom for a spider.
Yeah, and Lady Spider-Man, she's out damn spot with, like, whack, like...
Yeah.
Spider-Gwen, I guess, would be that character.
And speaking of things you read on Twitter, I read a fact on Twitter, and I don't know if you guys know if it's true. It says hot dogs were invented in 1936 by Larry Hot Dogs when he accidentally dropped a bag of prize-winning pig assholes in his dick shaper machine.
I think we put this on the episode before. That sounds very familiar, so I'm going to confirm that is true.
Okay.
That is.
I think it was in one of the streams, someone kept posting that in the chat, and it was just, I lost it, and I found out it's a tweet. Because I was doing hot dog fact.
That's Loreboy's canon for our thousand-year-old history, the invention of the hot dog.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's Loreboy's 1909 or 1099.
Yeah, Loreboy's 1099, when we were all celibate priests in some sort of like Southern England church.
We all had just the tops of our heads shaved. We all wore brown.
So let God in. He can't get through your hair because of all the head and shoulders. The wax keeps the dandruff in and God. So obviously their pursuit of creating super cops led to experiments with spider DNA because Miguel had read Macbeth.
Yeah.
Put those two things together. One of his test subjects was a man named Mr. Sims, or known only as Mr. Sims. Volunteer, prisoner, whatever he was, don't know. Just he was locked into the genetic modification machine, basically.
There you go.
And they were just like, listen, man, you're going to be a super cop, and the best cops in the animal kingdom are spiders. They shoot little silky handcuffs out of their butts. It's great. It's fucking perfect.
they have an eye, because they have like 8 eyes each, right? But 2 of those eyes, one of them can turn red and one of them can turn blue. And they're known to alternate their eyes them.
On top of their heads, exactly. Yeah.
They have those traffic stops where they hide under a piece of dirt and then pop out and grab your car if you're going too fast.
Yes. Yeah. I got a ticket like that. It was fucking ridiculous.
Spiders kill a lot of dogs every year.
Spider.
That's sad. I don't like that one.
Oh my god. So Mr. Sims, he's part of the Super Cop project, and they're adding spider DNA for law enforcement reasons. And it didn't go so great. Not in like the he did something stupid on the streets, like used one of his 8 arms to turn off his body cam. More like he transformed into like a hideous kind of spider human wad and then died in gyrating screaming agony seconds later.
So Oof. Then Miguel, of course, is like, I should try this on myself.
Not immediately. At first, people were just like, well, even corporate science of the future was just like, I think this probably needs a little bit more work.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're not trying to make like, I mean, they're not trying to make like a workforce or like slaves per se. They want to make super cops, meaning you kind of want it to succeed because you can't enforce your corporate law with super cops if you just liquefy your volunteers, right? That's not great.
Then the super cop union gets involved, and it's like they have so much bargaining power.
It's just like, I'm just here arguing for the rights. Some of my boys don't get liquefied into spider goo.
Yeah.
to keep a lid on this, hopefully a little lid with like air holes poked into it. So it doesn't like suffocate.
Yeah. And it's stick in there so they feel like they're at home.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. One dry leaf.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Tyler Stone spikes one of Miguel's drinks in one of their like corporate meetups with a super drug called Rapture. This drug bonds to the DNA who ingests it. And the only legal way to get it is through Alchemax. So they, I don't know if they do this to their other staff, like if it's like an arc in one of the comics or whatever. Basically, it's just like if we get all of our employees addicted to the drug that we manufacture, we can keep them super fucking loyal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which honestly doesn't seem too far-fetched as far as like Amazon goes, honestly.
I mean, it's a tale as old as time, right? Look at look at England in China with opium.
Oh, the opium wars? Yeah. Or even fucking Tiger King and his like meth sex slaves.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, it's just like as a way to control him, he gets him addicted to Rapture.
So fucking loyal, a tiger could rip off their arm and they'll stay on the tiger farm.
Yeah. It's like, wow. Meth is a. It makes people pretty open to suggestion, apparently.
What a time to take a big drink right when it was your turn.
I thought you guys were going to talk about meth.
Well, we got a lot to say about it, Peter.
So the thing about about Rapture is that it bonds to the user's DNA, basically. So it's not something you can just detox from and like whatever, have a bunch of crazy hallucinations about babies on the ceiling and shit, and then just kind of get over and clean yourself up, because it becomes part of you. Kind of like how radiation like knocks your DNA apart. It bonds to it and becomes part of your makeup.
Sure.
Yeah. The withdrawal from Rapture is said to be like heroin, which is why I tossed in the little reference to Train Spotting, a famous heroin documentary. During like a bout of withdrawal, Miguel struck his ill-gotten fiance Dana in the face, and he was just like, okay, this has gone too far. I don't want to be a junkie. I don't want to be abusive to anyone except my half brothers, apparently. And he was just like, look, I know how to use the genetic engineering equipment at work. I work on it all the time. I need to get the Rapture off of my DNA. I need to get it out of my sequence. Get this shit out of my fucking helix.
Yeah.
It's making me too angry at home. So he decides to hook himself up, obviously, to the equipment they've been using to attempt to make super cops, to make spider cops, basically.
The blob making machine.
Exactly, yes.
The so blobinator.
Well, it's like, do I want to be an abusive husband, or do I want to be a blob? And
a blob for several minutes before I die screaming in agony.
I mean, I like my lady a lot, so I would probably take blob over this, personally.
They get shipped off to the Dragon Quest universe if they turn into a blob to be a slime killed by a level one character.
Blue slime, metal slime, abusive slime. It's like, this one's weird.
Whoa, look at that slime taking its brother's girlfriend.
It's got like a tank top on over it. It's like,
oh man, they're morphing right in front of him. That's so rude.
Alchemax's genetic facility had like some kind of storage going on for people's genetic sequence, like whatever kind of future bullshit that people in the 90s imagined a corporation would have in 2099. They used to back up DNA, basically. So Miguel had like a CDR of his own pre-rapture DNA somewhere and like put it in the slot in the DNA machine. And he was like, okay, cool. I just need to load. It's basically like physically loading a DNA checkpoint.
Anybody
prior to when he was doing drugs.
Anybody who's done like 23andMe or Ancestry.com, like the corporation's got yours if you ever need it.
Yeah. I have Ancestry.ca.
Yeah, so you just call up Ancestry.ca and be like, hey, I accidentally morphed a drug to my DNA. Could you send me my old copy? And they still got it. So.
Hey, I'm addicted to heroin. Can you mail me my spit back?
Got to put it in the DNA machine. That sounds more like meth than heroin, though.
That does sound like a meth head request.
One of my guildies works. He's a scientist, and he works on CRISPR data, and he goes through people's DNA to like help try and solve cancer. He will not do those tests because he doesn't want his stuff saved somewhere. Yeah. You said, yeah.
So, quick aside, just because it's happened to me this week. I have Ancestry, like I said, and then like my mom has it, my dad, like everybody in my family kind of set it up. So it starts to like make webs of people that you're probably related to if they do it as well.
Yeah.
And I get a message from a guy in Australia who is listed as like second cousin. Okay. And despite the fact I was like, oh, it's Harry. My mom has already told me about this guy. I technically know who this is. I still totally, when he sent me a message, he's like, hey, why is your last name Scottish? How are we related? And I'm like, what? Donnie, not a Scottish name, but nice try, buddy. I still totally treated him for like an entire week as like, though he had like $1 million in an Ivory Coast bank account.
Yeah. that he just needed your help accessing. Yeah.
So like but then I texted my mom. I'm like, Harry in Australia is your cousin, and she's like, yeah, it's fine. You can talk to him. I'm like, okay. But that was my Ancestry story from this week, which thank God came up as a joke because I remember wanting to tell it to people.
Yeah. I always thought how I would get my dog's spit and send it to Ancestry for me and then spit in the dog test and send it to the dog thing and see what breed I would be.
As if they wouldn't notice.
Just like without even running it through the machine, just one of the texts is like, looking at the jar, like, this is human spit, not dog spit.
I mean, they're professionals. So I got an eye for that sort of thing, right?
I feel like they get faulty data sometimes or something. And I just tell them golden retriever. I don't know. They ask for a picture, too. Like, yeah.
Your dog, clearly a husky. It's like, yeah, she's the lab, whatever.
Yeah. Just like dipping his little pinky in the jar of spit, like tasting it on his tongue. Like,
he rubs it on his tongue. Because dog spit makes your gums go numb.
Oh, right.
They ask for a picture, too, so they could just eyeball it. You know, there's just one person who like goes 24 hours a day and just looks at pictures, and they can clear so many, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. High wing, just like, I don't know, like, how much dog is like, eh, whatever, just fucking eyeball it. It's like, yeah. Husky. So, Miguel is in the process now of loading his genetic checkpoint to before he was addicted to drugs. He, of course, because he's such a cocky 90s boy, whoa, authority doesn't like him very much. And my direct superior, Aaron Delgado, is a real fucking square, am I telling you? And he tried to ollie and landed vertically on the skateboard and crushed his nuts, which is my favorite skateboarding act, personally.
One of the best, that's for sure.
Yes. So Delgado is skulking around the office on the same night that Miguel is going to reset his genes, and he sees Miguel like using the machine after hours, and he's just like, "I hate this guy, and he shouldn't be working overtime. We'll have to pay him." And then he like swaps out his, or at least part of Miguel's DNA backup, and makes it 50 Miguel, 50% spider. Because he's just like, well, it killed that last guy, and I hate this radical dude enough to literally murder him at work. So,
in the most horrible way possible.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, fuck this kid. I don't like the way he talks to me. He comes back 4 minutes late from lunch every day. I don't think so, buddy. That's death in corporate 2099.
Yeah, we know there's a 5 minute grace period. You're abusing him, buddy. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a cumulative 5 minute grace period per calendar year. I don't know if you read the employee contract. Okay. Right. That is under 1 second per day. So yeah, he swaps out the genetic makeup at the backup for 50% Miguel, 50% spider. He's like, ha, take that, idiot. The assumption being that it would liquefy him, and he'd have to hire someone else, I guess. Like, I don't know if he's got a thing for the HR lady or like that. Just like retraining someone, which is more expensive than
the overtime,
like having someone on staff, right? So it's whatever. He's a businessman. He's just angry. He's just petty.
Yeah, gotcha.
Considering Miguel is the hero of the story, obviously he did not turn to slime. So he's not in Dragon Quest. It's not the crossover episode.
Okay. What did he turn into?
Miguel was almost seamlessly infused with spider DNA.
he was infused with spider DMCA, and then he wasn't allowed to stream on Twitch anymore.
He went to spider jail.
Well, spiders are great cops, so spider jails.
Yeah, the spiders got him immediately.
Yeah, right away.
This gave him a few special powers and some actual minor physical mutations. So, like, traditional Peter Parker Spider-Man, other than clearly being 36 in high school, has no identifiable mutations.
No.
For being Spider-Man, right?
Well, the Tobey Maguire one does, in that he shoots webs out of his wrist, right?
Right. So I have that here. I'll get into the spinnerets. Because Miguel now has, like, large canine teeth, like a vampire. He has big fangs.
Okay.
Spooky red eyes.
Is weird because I'm pretty sure spiders don't have teeth. Do you ever just
they have fangs to inject venom and I think drink like fly juice?
Oh, I guess, I guess some spiders do.
But they don't have teeth in the way that we understand them because they don't have bones.
Yeah, well, I was just picturing bones and imagine like all of a spider, like there's no bones in a spider except for the teeth. So like a spider would die and then the body would decompose and you just find these tiny little spider teeth in like a little pile where the spider died. How unsettling would that be?
I don't know. Like spider moms keep little spider teeth in a jar. Yeah. Like, you used to be before you were a policeman with your little blinking red letter.
Do you guys still have any of your teeth that fell out?
My mom probably does.
I still have a baby tooth in my mouth.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah. I get this one right here.
Oh, I thought that was just a little tooth.
It is a little tooth because it's a baby tooth that never fell out.
Yeah, I mean, I just heard the audio. It's just, Ethan has one small tooth. Okay.
Yeah. Anybody who's ever seen a picture of me smiling with my teeth, you can spot it. It's one of the front four.
I cracked one of my back teeth jumping over the, like, it was a bar that you sit at, and it's like one of those rounded benches, and I jumped over the back when I was drunk and completely misjudged it and just hit the back of my head, and I cracked my back tooth. Yeah, I was with Ethan. It was deja vu, actually.
I remember that, though, my friend. Don't have to get into it, but boy, do I remember that one.
Yeah. While we're on tooth stories, I have a chip out of one of my front bottom teeth because I got hit in the face with a hockey stick.
Oof.
There you go.
Yeah. We were just playing a pickup game on the lake out behind my house, and obviously no one had any kind of gear. The only equipment we had was sticks, so that's how that happened.
While we're still on tea stories, the tooth next to my baby tooth is also chipped. I chipped it at a hardcore show.
Which band?
Punched in the Mouth. The band was
That's the band?
The show was Vane, and the band that was playing was King Nine.
Ah, there cool. we go. A little bit of Lore Boys lore about yeah. our teeth specifically.
Yeah, Lore Boys teeth lore.
I have all my baby teeth in my pocket at all times, just in case.
Just in case.
Very yeah. weird.
You never yeah. know when you're going to need them.
Well, if he gets and mugged cool and somebody asks for his wallet, he can just whip baby teeth at the guy and he's sufficiently disgusted to just run away.
I like the way it sounds when I walk in my swishy pants, too, with the little jingle of, yeah. of teeth in the pocket. It's
Would you
great.
Call it a jingle? It's a rattle more than a jingle.
It's a rattle. Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a rattle.
A shake.
Miguel's got, I guess, the opposite of Ethan's problem. He's got larger teeth now. Which, and this is so fucking stupid, but it's such like a quintessentially hilarious comic book lore fact. To hide the fact from polite society that he has big teeth now, like fangs, he apparently, part of his character bio is that he talks in a way that does not show his teeth too much.
Just like me. I talk like that all the time, see? Yeah, nobody can even tell. Nobody can even tell when I'm talking like this that I'm hiding my teeth.
He but, constantly sounds like he's doing an impression of his granddad, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Lips curled over the points of his teeth. I'm just like, what the fuck kind of world building is that?
Honestly, I think that's pretty good. Like, I think there's people out there who aren't proud of their teeth and they do their best to smile not as big and like try and speak differently so they don't show their whole teeth. So it's just like a weird little specific fact that gives them humanity, I guess.
I guess.
I haven't seen the author's teeth. It might be like a thing from his life because that's a weird thing to think up, right? Like, if yeah. you haven't encountered it.
For anybody out yeah. there self-conscious about their teeth, I have terrible teeth. I don't care. You shouldn't either.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're fine, just the way you are. Yeah. Listen,
chew with your fucking mouth open. I don't care.
Yeah,
smack. Chomp into this podcast.
Chomp into a podcast.
Yeah. Chomp into the podcast. Snaggletooth.
So, other than his fangs, he also has spooky red eyes, which make him very sexy because he has to wear sunglasses all the time to hide that.
I was going
to
say, does he just also keep his eyes closed whenever he's around other people?
Yeah, he talks with his eyes and mouth closed all the time. He's very weird to be around.
He does sound like an old man, though, with glasses and just covering his gums
glasses,
over his teeth.
He's talking like dish on his head.
The guy playing shuffleboard goggles that go like the wrap around his forehead, like yeah. Jordy LaForge. and then he also has like these needle-like talons that poke out of the pads of his fingers and toes. Okay. And I also had to look this up. I was just like, that doesn't sound like a spider thing to have retractable claws.
No, it
turns out
thing.
Some tarantulas do have retractable claws.
Oh.
Weird.
That makes me loathe tarantulas all the more.
They're pretty. There's a kind of pet YouTuber that I follow, and he says they're very easy to keep. It's barely more difficult than keeping a cactus. So if you want to get something easy, you get a starter pet, you get a tarantula.
I am.
Yeah, I used to have a pet YouTuber, but he kept asking me to like and subscribe while I was trying to sleep. So
yeah. Yeah. So annoying, you know?
Yeah.
He went to a shelter. I'm sure somebody else adopted him. It's fine.
Oh, I hope you got a good home. Fuck, what's a drama guy? Keemstar.
Oh, dude, he's the worst.
Well, you put him up for adoption because he kept annoying you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Boys Canon. Jamie used to own Keemstar. So the problem with his talons, though, he can't like consciously retract them. They're subconsciously retracted when he like touches his own body to prevent from hurting himself, but otherwise are out at all times.
Okay. So he's just like hands constantly on nipples. So he doesn't give away the fact that he's got retractable claws.
Eyes closed, eyes closed, mouth curled over his teeth, hands flat against his chest. And then he like shuffles forward.
Yeah. Just walking around.
Very
like
normal. Very incognito.
It's Spider-Man, but the future, basically, right?
Yeah. Cool. In the future, everybody walks like that. He looks totally normal.
Totally normal, yeah.
So he's got super sight, super hearing. His fangs do give him like a paralytic venom, so he can bite people and paralyze them. And then he does have the like biological spinnerets, like Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Not Peter Parker.
Which did come out after 2099, so it may have been taken from there. I didn't look up. Because most Spider-Mans have like the gadget for the Go Webs Go thing, right?
Go web spinner.
Yeah, yeah, and they do the metal horns forwards, like in the Tobey Maguire movie.
Exactly. Yeah, and then they have that whole plot point that if they run out of the aerosol stuff in the can, then they can't like sling around as much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they got to fight hand to hand at that point.
Like, I don't know if the genetic ones run out of ammo or if it's just like the first fight's pretty quick and then you wait a while to recharge and the subsequent fights are a lot quicker.
One sec, babe. I need a Gatorade before the next fight.
Yeah.
I need a 15-minute break and a glass of milk. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Is that what you do?
Oh, dude, big old glass of milk.
Just chugging milk from the jug, baby.
I don't even keep milk in my house. I was just trying to think of a funny liquid.
Oh, that was great. Do you want a cigarette? No, thanks. Milk for me, babe.
Yeah. Room temperature.
Exactly. 45 minutes. It's so warm. Like, you ready to go again? I don't know, man. I feel fairly sick, actually. So with everything he knew about science, obviously after Miguel's mutation, Delgado immediately fucking panics and starts shooting a gun wildly within the laboratory at Miguel after he got out of his spider bath. And this caused a laboratory explosion. As we know, all laboratories are one gunshot away from exploding.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. In all fiction. Now, I kind of looked for it, and Darnell's notes didn't specify, and then some of the summaries didn't specify. I don't know if they like got to the roof of the Alchemex building, or if Delgado was just blown out a window by his own stupidity. Either way, he's about to fall off the building at some point. And Miguel is just like, oh, God, no. I know
you just tried to kill me and now are in the process of killing yourself as a result of that. But still, oh, no.
Yeah, he's still a good guy. He grabs onto his arm.
He's a good guy. It's not like it was his half-brother falling off the building or something, right?
Fuck that guy. It's just like, no, man, I'm not related to. And leaps forward and grabs onto Delgado's arm, which is how he discovers he has talons. The talons shred Delgado's arm, and he freaks out and panics and struggles free and presumably falls to his death. Delgado comes back later in the story, possibly possessed by the ghost of Thanatos. Bleh, whatever.
That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought he was gonna like catch him and learn he now knows how to web and saves him and like no, he has talons and he accidentally shreds the guy's fucking arm.
So we are gonna get through all of spider puberty in this episode, so don't worry. Like we'll get to his spinneret pre-cum moment fairly soon. This is how he discovers the talons, is he shreds the guy's arm. Tyler Stone, they don't know they're related at this point. He realizes that there is a Spider-Man-like man, like, out in the wild of Nueva York. And he's just like, whoa, no, I own the IP rights to Spider-Man. I've got the copyright here in my wallet. So he sends his security guards after him. This force is called Private Eye. They're, from what I understand, the precursor to the genetically augmented super cops. They still function. They still have bribes for breakfast, basically. So they're not beyond. They don't have their integrity serum yet.
Right.
Fully corrupt. Corrupt as the day they were born, hatched from eggs or wherever you get cops from.
Wherever you get cops from.
Yeah. So they're hunting down this man with Spider-Man powers. Nobody knows it's Miguel at this point. Thankfully. Miguel had in storage a Mexican Day of the Dead, like black and red wrestler costume, like handy. This is important because this one is specifically made from something called UMF, which is unstable molecule fabric. This is the only clothing he owns that his talons don't poke through, and is apparently made from the same or a similar sci-fi material as the shit that like the Fantastic Four and some of the X-Men use. Okay. So it's like the Human Torch can light himself on fire and not burn away his pants.
Right. Yeah. And people who also get those when they want to grow out their toenails, but not ruin their sock.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
precisely, which at present you can only get on Amazon because of Quebec's curfew, but like you can get some decent UMF at the dollar store after that.
His suit is actually in the PS4 version of the Marvel game of Spider-Man.
Oh yeah,
you can unlock his shirt, and it gives you low gravity when you're in the air, so it's a cool little thing. It's like level 34 or something. I looked it up before.
Because he has glidey wings. He has like he has glidey webs in his armpits,
like a squirrel. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. I unlocked it, but I did not remember that it was $20.99.
Would you have known? Going into this, I thought it was like, is this like Batman Beyond, where like old Peter Parker takes on a protege or some shit? Like, I didn't realize it kind of got so weird.
It's a whole different world, dude.
Exactly. During the chase from the building, he is seen by a group of Thorites, which are people who have formed a cult around the worship of the god and Avenger, Thor, which I'm sure we're all familiar with from the movies. He's one of the main dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Best Hemsworth, but I would say second Chris. Because the Captain America guy was definitely handsomer.
The only thing I remember from the Thor movie is he's sitting and like gets a cup of coffee and they give it to him and he drinks it and he just smashes the glass on the floor like, I'll have another. That was great. I love that shit.
So he's seen by a group of cultists who worship Thor, one of which is conveniently like hang gliding through the neighborhood. He lands on the hang glider. And the Thorite asks him who he is, and reportedly he says, I don't know, the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, Spider-Man, take your pick.
Ooh.
Okay. Well, I hate that.
I very stupid 90s thing to say.
You're right, very 90s. Like,
Spider-Man is a real historical person, and the other two are not.
Although, real historical person who lived over 1,000 years ago, maybe he's kind of got like a mythos around him.
2099 and
100 years ago. Sorry,
yeah,
I've said 1,000 twice now, but it's just 100 years.
But you said 1,000, and that did make sense because we were talking about like religious shit or whatever, or we're talking about Macbeth, so that made more sense.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I did it thinking that 2099 was 1,000 years from now.
No, no, it's not 3099.
Yeah.
No, dude, 100 is not 1,000. Math.
Right? Oh, objective.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm glad we could keep emotion out of this and stay objective when talking about this.
That's why I don't even remember what the setup was, but that's why you can cheat on a spider with a regular guy.
Something like that.
I think it's the moral of that story.
It's a quarter as bad.
Exactly. Exactly. Professor X has zero legs.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This introduction, like, on the back of a hang glider, which crashes, by the way. It's not a two-man glider.
Of course.
He's like
regular
hang glider.
His claws
dude.
Are just like shredding the like fabric of the glider too, like just like that poor guy's arm.
Yeah, they just fucking torpedo and they wreck the glider. The Thorite lives, but gives him some of the hang glider material, which is like the genesis of his squirrel suit sort of thing.
Sure.
The introduction to Spider-Man, though, like, offhandedly, I guess, it leads the Thorites to believe that he was actually Spider-Man reincarnated, or like back from the dead, kind of like Jesus is supposed to be for the like during the end times.
Okay.
And that their god Thor is soon to follow for some reason. Like, it's like, oh, well, one of the Avengers has been reincarnated. That must mean our guy's gonna come up shortly, as if it's like an order of appearance credit sequence in like an amateur play.
I mean,
but like, the
Thor would still be alive, right? Unless something killed Thor.
I don't know if he's been killed in the intervening 107 years when they started this or whatever.
He might have just not shown, like, because he lives in Asgard, right? So he might just have just not visited Earth in the past 100 years.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I didn't look up what happened to Thor between 1992 and 2099, but a cult now, so that's kind of neat.
That's kind of cool. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. It's ambitious, and you know what? It paid off. Back at Alchemex, Tyler Stone figures that whoever got these super spider powers was his property, because it was made, technically made off the clock, so it's not really his property, but like, you know, the employee contract is just like, anything you do here belongs to us, sort of thing.
like draws a vial of Miguel's blood, and he's like, no, actually, sliding it under a microscope. Like, if you look here, and you just see like an Alchemex logo on his DNA, like,
yeah.
Talk about fine print. Yeesh. Yeah.
New definition of bloodsuckers, like, huh?
Yeah. His own blood that he's just forgot to cancel. He's like, God damn it. Keeps. Yeah. Credit card expired and everything. I still keep getting it. Tyler Stone hires a cyborg bounty hunter named Venture to bring back whoever the spider person might be to the office. He's like, just go and get him. I looked up Venture as well. I love his design. It's very... It reminds me actually of like some of the characters in Cyberpunk 2077 that I was playing but have since stopped waiting for patches. It's like he's very retro inspired. So he's like 90% cyborg, but he looks like a cowboy. So he's got like a duster and a cowboy hat instead of looking like a future cop. So he's very into like retro movies, nice. Basically. In one of the fights with Venture, Miguel discovers his web shooting abilities, which allows him to defeat the cyborg. Venture had grabbed him by the arms and like squeezed one of his forearms and basically like pepper sprayed himself with spider silk.
That's the first time someone touched mine too. It's the same thing. Just shoots right off, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a hammer on the knee reaction. Like, if you squeeze the right spot, there's nothing you can do, you know?
Just the spider reflexes. So he like maces himself with spider silk, and then I don't really know what he did. He uses like claws to sever the cybernetic connections on the back of Venture's head and like disables the robot.
Gotcha.
After this, thinking he still had control of Miguel, because Tyler Stone does not know that Miguel is Spider-Man. Right. Stone went to his apartment thinking that he was like, hey, you're still that junkie that I created. I know we got into a bit of a disagreement about that whole me getting you addicted to heroin things, but I will continue to supply you with heroin if you want to come back to work.
Yeah, if you want to come fix this, figure out who this Spider-Man fella is.
Exactly.
I want you to have a coat of Spider-Man on my desk, damn it.
This is a direct parallel to J. Jonah Jameson and Peter Parker Spider-Man, because Miguel takes the job figuring that working in a genetic laboratory as a geneticist would help like him explain his spider puberty to himself, as well as hide his identity and keep an eye on Alchemex at the same time. So Tyler Stone very much wants Spider-Man's genetic code on his desk, god damn it. But he still gets the same like out of focus Bigfoot shots that Peter Parker is giving to J. Jonah Jameson.
Jingle Iron Schmidt.
Yeah.
Well, like, if he gets put on like the Spider-Man project, because now, like, let's say the boss has like a plan B. It's like, if they can't capture Spider-Man, maybe they can just create a Spider-Man. So he's like,
they were already Spider-Man.
I know.
Right?
So that's it. Yeah. So now he's like, oh, well, we'll get our best geneticist working on it, and he can just always be like, oh yeah, we're getting close, boss, but you know, it's really hard. Like every single weekly meeting that they have, just like, you know, it's so messed up. I was getting so close when Barry puked up a donut into the genetic mix and just like messed the whole batch up, so now I gotta start from scratch. And you know how it is, the donuts gunking up the gene machine.
Trying to squeeze spiders from a stone, you know how it is.
I would hate that if I squeezed a stone and a bunch of spiders came out.
Horrifying, wouldn't
this? I think you need a little bit of a murderous tone on a bastard child. I think that's the missing stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So he takes the job and continues to mislead Alchemex, and there's some time travel and shit. But that's old Spodersman 2099. That's his origin and how he got to be, frankly, one of the worst Spider-Men. I think it's more of a curse, what with the claws and the fangs and shit, but very strange, and I very much liked looking it up.
Yeah.
So, if you, yourself, want to be a Darnell, or some other kind of person who suggests things, you can go to thelorboys.com/about and jump into the old Discord. You can find a link to our merch store as well, if you want, which is tpublic.com/thelorboys. I have been your host, Peter O'Donohue. Plug away, fellas.
I'm Ethan. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you like the show, tell your friend, leave us a review, and head to patreon.com/theloreboys to leave us a little monetary incentive. We lost Jamie. Oh, Jamie's back. Hi, Jamie.
We're good. Your card died for a second.
Yeah, you disappeared, buddy. Right as I was about to throw it to you, it was like you were gone. I was going to plug for you. I was going to talk all about your skin samples that you're selling and, you know, your baby.
I was just trying to clock out early, guys. Sorry.
I swear to God, Jamie, I've got so much of your blood here.
I know you're working on like those molds of baby teeth, you know, so people can make their own little Jamie baby teeth. Baby Jamie teeth. Baby Jamie dentures.
Baby Jamie teeth. I like that.
But it's your go. Do you have anything else you want to plug?
Oh, we're still live. Yeah. Just come out to the Discord, loreboys.com/about. If you're interested in these comics, I was just checking them out and they're on the Marvel website for like $3.99 each. So they're really cheap and you get a bunch of them.
Yeah. And if you do, tell them we sent you.
Yeah. Fuggy owes me a fucking favor.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks so much for listening, everybody. Like I said, Patreon, we're on there if you want to support us financially. If you don't trust Patreon and want to do it your own way, want to just send us the cash, we are, as we always have from day one, been working on some genetic mutations. And we're at the stage where we're looking for test subjects. We're not going to use spiders because I don't like spiders. They scare me. But I was thinking mice. You want to be mouse man? Huh? Yeah, you can be a cute little mouse man. We'll give you some cheese. You can have a maze and a wheel. All you got to do is send us a sample of your blood, which we've definitely asked for before in the Lore Boys Prime, but we lost all the samples when Jamie puked up some donuts into them. But unfortunately, they weren't whole edible donuts. It was just Jamie ate too many donuts and he had a bit of an accident.
A couple of lovelies.
Don't worry. I didn't let him go to waste, though. I finished all the donuts and the blood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We did use it. We're zero net waste here at the Lore Boys HQ. So yep. If somebody pukes on something, they got to eat it. That's the rule.
zero carbon footprint by 2099 here at the Lore Boys.
Yeah. Yeah, 1,000 years. It'll only take us. I think that constitutes a
Lore Boys.
Lore Boys donut puke out.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.